Our reading this morning is from Joshua chapter 1 and can be found on page 216 of the Church Bibles. And I have to say, I'm tempted to say, are you sitting comfortably? I will begin. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, ready for battle, must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are here to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan towards the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Owen. Well, last Sunday we started our sermon series looking at this great story of them entering the land. And we saw that after their exodus from Egypt, God's people traveled for about 2 years until they came to the River Jordan and the promised land, Israel, beyond. And as we studied Numbers chapters 13 and 14, we saw how they were overcome with fear. They were gripped with fear. And they, despite God's promises, they turn back. It's a tragedy. And as a result, they wander for 40 years in the wilderness because they missed what God had for them. God doesn't desert them. He still provides manna for them to eat, but they're eating manna in the wilderness instead of milk and honey in the promised land. It was second best. And we saw last week how we can settle for second best because of fear that stops us stepping into what God wants for us. So we don't fully commit our lives. We hold a bit back in fear. And we live in a sort of slightly grey walk with God instead of the full colour walk with God that we have when we step into his presence. The joy and just the being in a place of blessing right where God wants us to be. So that was last week. And of course, for us, when we miss God's place for us, there is forgiveness, isn't there? It's an amazing thing that Jesus has bought us endless forgiveness when we fail. But that's a New Testament thing. And in the Old Testament, they struggled with that because for 40 years, they wandered in the desert. And actually, those people who had feared and had turned back, they never entered the promised land. Because God kept them in the desert until from old age and from the hard place that the desert was, each one of them had died. And so the only people who were left were Caleb and Joshua from that original people. And they were the ones who had been faithful, who'd been willing to walk into the land. So it's 40 years later and God brings a new generation to the Jordan, a new generation to this challenge. Will they press on into the land? And at this point, Moses dies. And I think this is a kindness on God's part. Moses was very old by that time. His work is done. It needs a new person to take them in to the promised land, to face the battles that there will be in conquering the land. So here we are. They're at the River Jordan. This is the second attempt to enter. And of course, we live in the age of the Spirit, don't we? We don't live in the Old Testament, we live in a New Testament time. And so each one of us has a connection with God. Each one of us can know God, can hear God, and can respond to his Spirit. But in Joshua's day, God worked through particular leaders who were anointed and given the Spirit. And so very often people had to work through what the leader said. But now, in the age of the Spirit, we are all responsible to God. We're all part of this journey. So I'm not your Joshua in this passage. Actually, we are all Joshuas in this passage. And in fact, I brought Joshua's sandals here. They're not the original ones. I'm going to place them there because I want you to step into those sandals. In this talk, I want you to think about what it means for you to be a Joshua. So this morning, we're going to look at Joshua's faithfulness, Joshua's prayer, and Joshua's obedience to God. So first, Joshua's faithfulness. Well, we've already seen this last week. Last time when we met, that Joshua was sent out as a spy the first time they got to the Jordan 40 years earlier. And Joshua brings back a careful account of the land. And it's a true account, an accurate report. It's a great land. There is fantastic fruit, and it's a land flowing with milk and honey, just as God promised, but there are big fortified cities, and the people seem pretty big too. This is a big challenge that they're facing. But Joshua doesn't allow fear to grip him. He believes in God's promise that they will succeed, and he shows himself to be faithful in that. He uses sober judgment, and he is faith-filled. We use a little saying in our leadership team, sum up reality, but choose hope. sum up reality, but choose hope. But they didn't do that. The people, when they heard of the land and of the problems there, they panicked and they turned back. They lost their grip on reality and they ran, basically. Now, you know, one of the real tests of our faithfulness is what we do with disappointment or with failure. You know, maybe it's at work and things go pear-shaped, or in the church sometimes things go wrong, or relationships or things in the family. What do we do with that disappointment? What do we do with that failure? Or when something just doesn't work out as we had thought that it would? You see, they all ran away. Joshua had given a true report, but they all deserted. Now, Joshua would have been incredibly disappointed at that point. He could have said, oh, you know, I just give up with them. They've all run away. We've missed God's blessing. I'm not bothering with them anymore. And he could have gone off in a huff, couldn't he? Quite easily. But he doesn't. Instead, he works for 40 years as Moses' assistant. With this grumbling, difficult people, Joshua perseveres in faithfulness, leading them and serving them in the wilderness that they should never have been in the first place. That's faithfulness, isn't it? And over those years, Joshua is learning from Moses as well as Moses' assistant. He's a faithful worker, a faithful servant of God. And he's learning the trade, really, of leadership. You know, that's really important. If you want to be a leader, you need to learn the trade. You need to be there. You need to work hard. You need to find your place. And you need to learn from those who lead. But then at the point of entering the promised land, Moses dies. And it's quite stark. Verse 2, God says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people enter the land. Now, there's no sort of messing about with God. Moses is dead. Get on with it. But think about Joshua. How was he feeling? He'd been following Moses all these years. He was grieving for the one, his partner, his man, who had led him and taught him. What a gap that must have left. And then he's also thinking about his own doubts. You know, will the people follow me as they followed Moses? Can I do this? Will I manage? Will God speak to me like he spoke to Moses? And you know, sometimes key people in organizations, workplaces, in ministries or churches step down, or they take a step back, or sometimes even they die like Moses did. And they leave a big gap. But when they do, I find that other people's hearts are quickened by God. And they sense, actually, this is my time. This is my time to step forward. And nervous though they may be, they step forward just as Joshua did, because God is calling them. And sometimes they'll do things in new ways, and that's healthy. And certainly they'll grow in dependence on God as they do that. And this is what happened with Joshua. And God says in verse 5, I will be with you as I was with Moses. Well, in a few weeks' time, on Sunday, May the 17th, we're having a bring and share lunch, as I said earlier. And then we're having a serving fair, and we're spending time just looking at the opportunities that there are to serve in the life of our church. And in a healthy church, there will be a constant sort of changing of people laying things down and other people taking them up. And that's how we grow as a church and how everybody gets to lead and take part. And so I encourage you to come to the lunch and to just think about how you serve and what you're doing. You may need to lay some things down. You may need to take some things up. And the church is very sort of fluid as the Spirit works amongst us. And also that day will be a gift day as we think about fully funding our staff and particularly our youth worker post. We want to clear off the money that we need so that we're regularly giving enough money to cover all the cost of the staff. If we can do so, that will be a really big step forward in the life of our church. And it'll mean that we can move on then to, in the following year, in the next year or so, building our extension and raising the money for that too. So Joshua, he's faithful. He's ready for God's call. He's been building towards this over the years. But are you ready? Will you step into Joshua's sandals? Step up to serve, to be faithful, to play your full part in what you're doing here, what we're doing here. We all need to be Joshuas in the life of the church. Well, secondly, in this passage, we see his faithfulness, but then we see Joshua's prayer. And there are probably around 600,000 people in the children of Israel, in God's people at this time. And Moses has just died, and all the leaders of the people were no doubt clamoring around Joshua, oh, what's going to happen now? How are we going to handle this? No doubt the people were pretty jumpy. They just arrived at the River Jordan, and then Moses dies. The main leaders died. How would they enter the land? What would happen under Joshua's lead? And they'd be pressing in on him. So what does Joshua do? It's a bit like someone becoming prime minister, I think, you know, in the first week of being prime minister, leading all these people. What does Joshua do? He goes off on his own to the tent of the meeting, to this sort of worship space that they've been carrying around with them in the desert. And he meets with God. That's where he starts. He seeks God and he really listens. What do you do when you face a challenging time? You know, when things are really come upon you and think, oh, gosh, how am I going to handle that? Do you pray? Or do you start thinking about, oh, well, we could move this here and we could do that and we could... Do you come with your own solutions? Or do you stop, like Joshua did, and really engage with God and expect God to speak to you, to guide you? Do you really earnestly pray? Well, God says this to Joshua as he prays. You know, if Joshua hadn't prayed then, he'd have missed this. But this is what God says in that time in the tent of the meeting. He says, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. And then he tells him where the territory will be. And then he says this, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. That's a pretty big answer to get, isn't it? As he prayed. How that must have strengthened him to hear that. And you know, we need to be seeking God for ourselves in our own lives as we face challenges, as we all do. And we need to be seeking God together as a church as we face challenges, really engaging with God. And every now and again, in any live church, there will be big hills to climb, big challenges to face, like our youth staff funding and our extension. Big opportunities, like Joshua faced, entering the land. But when there's a big challenge, people react in different ways. Many people will fully engage and fully pray, and that's brilliant. But some will say straight away, oh, you must be joking. You know, £200,000, that's not possible. Don't even think about it. Be daft to do that. No, can't do that. And you know, that's because they haven't grasped the size of God, the God that we follow. But you know, there are still others who will say, oh yes, we'll pray. Yes, it'll be fine. No, God will provide, be great, be lovely. And that's because they haven't grasped the size of the problem. They haven't really engaged with what it is that we've got to do. It's not just the vicar, but it's all of us. We are all Joshuas. We all have to step into the shoes of Joshua and work the problem, see the problem as it truly is, and then realize the size of our God, who's so much bigger than the problem. And then we move forward together. Real Joshuas engage with the problem and engage with God and step forward in believing faith. So each of us needs to put on the sandals and to do that. So Joshua is faithful, Joshua is prayerful, finally, Joshua is obedient. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous, says God. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do you know, there's some really important connections in that little passage from verse 7 onwards. Be courageous to keep the law. Do you know, it takes real courage to live a really obedient life to God. Because to do that, we have to let go of things. And we have to lay them out to God. That takes real courage. Be courageous to keep the law. Not to step to the left or to the right, but to keep on track. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Courage, keep the law, success. Those three things are connected in this passage. And he says, I will be with you, but he says, you need to be with me. That's what he's saying. You see, if we wander off to the right or to the left, we're not where God wants us to be. I will be with you, but you must be with me. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Strong and obedient, diligent faith is what God calls us to. So if we're to put on Joshua's sandals this morning, that's for each of us to step into. We must be obedient. We must read God's word. We must put it into practice radically in our lives. And I speak to myself as much as to you as I say this. This is a challenge. So in your life today, in my life, are there morally things that we need to put right so that we're ready to step up as Joshua's? You know, it takes real strength and real courage to get on a grip on the things in our lives that aren't right, that need sorting out. But as we prepare ourselves for action, for entering the land, we need to do that. God says, I am with you, but we need to be sure we're fully with him. And are you serving God as you should, out in the world, here in the church? Are we strong and courageous enough to accept Christ's leadership in every single part of our lives so we're serving him as we should, surrendered to him? And are we financially right with God? Are we tithing, giving 10% of our income to God? It's part of our faith, that, you know. It takes courage and strength to trust God with our money. And if we're not doing that yet, it may take a year or two to gradually adjust our giving so that we're obedient in this area. But it is part of our faith. And we do need to step up to it at some point in our lives. Now might be a good time. God knows your circumstance. It's between you and God. If you're married to a non-Christian partner and you're not earning, then obviously you can't do that. And that's fine. God knows that. It's not a problem. Forget about it. It's not a problem. But if you can tithe, then really you should be. Now we live in love, we don't live under law, we live under grace. So it needs to be something that God calls you to, and you do joyfully, lovingly, because you want to do this for him. But it is a challenge, isn't it? It's something that Scripture talks about that we need to grasp. So Joshua's sandals, will you step into them? That's the question today. And you know, Joshua, he was like an oak because 40 years he had been with Moses. And for those 40 years, he was faithful, he was prayerful, and he was obedient. Even though the people had gone off in the wrong direction, he stood firm. And those things, faithful, prayerful, obedient, they were like rings in an oak tree. And as the tree grows, the rings are added. And he became strong. So that when God said, I will be with you, Joshua, strong and courageous, said, like an oak, let's enter the land. Come on, we're going in. And the people said, yes, we'll follow you. And they did it. They entered the land, and we'll see that next week. So can you wear Joshua's sandals? That's the question today. Yes, surely you can. But will you? Are you? Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we sense the challenge of your call. Lord, we know that this is a high bar. And sometimes we just balk at the thought. But Lord, we know that you are a God of incredible love, a God of incredible power, a God of amazing grace who has given us everything. And Lord, we know that your Spirit can enable us to step into what you call us to. We know that that is the place that is in full colour. Lord, we don't want to live in the grey place that's just half Christian, really. We want to live in the full colour place of your blessing. We want to be Joshua's, putting our feet in these sandals. Strong, courageous, like oaks for you. Lord, we're weak, but you are strong. So Lord, come to us now in your mercy. Pour upon us your Spirit, your anointing. Lead us into that place of blessing, the promised land, the amazing place of closeness with you, the place of joy, the place of hope. Help us to let go of the past and take hold of the future, trusting in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.